for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSIP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
Protex Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing cost. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Now, welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, I did it again. I forgot to hit all my buttons to go live here on the WSKV studio. So
that was a distraction.
Well, I rolled in a little bit late, so that may be what it was, too. So, again, this is Dave Fowler, along with Ken Simon. Going to bring you some sports news. Not a lot to update you on since last week. We do have some football news we'll get to in a minute. But we'll go straight to our COVID results.
Well, it's kind of interesting. We were talking before we went on the air here. We always go back a week ago. So last Wednesday, there were 45 active cases in Powell County. And then on Thursday of last week, there were 63. And on Friday, the count was up to 65. So Friday, 65. Since then, the count has gone down. There were 58 on Monday, 50 as of yesterday, and then we have 52 today, where there were 9 new cases. 5 were released from isolation, bringing the total case count to 2,594. Active count, 52. And when you look at that, we go back a week ago, so we were up from a week ago, and then we went more up from a week ago, but now we're starting to kind of, it seems, at least to be trending back down a little bit.
Probably on a little bit of the top of a plateau a little bit. Again, we've went up as much as 20 above where we were last week. We are still way too high. That's easy. That's the first response I have. The second response is we're still way below where we were about a month ago. So I still think it's a troubling number when you're talking about 52 active cases currently in Powell County. Again, that's troubling, because I even thought this last year when we were at 10 or 20, probably a year ago, that was a huge day for us. And we have been rolling now consistently for the last, four or five months, over 40. I don't think there's hardly been a time where we've been very, very few days, if any, under 40 cases since probably the last 6 months. Maybe not that long, maybe 4 months. I would go that far. But that, to me, again, is a troubling number. You have holidays coming up in November. You have school going on. You have a lot of indoor activities going on. You will have more indoor activities going on as we go further in November before we go to the Christmas break. I guess the backside of that is the good news. I guess the vaccine for the middle school age and elementary age is starting to be released. So they will probably be in Kentucky here rather soon. I would say by next week, you'll see kids who are being able to be vaccinated. And again, I want to remind everyone, anybody that's vaccinated, it takes about 5 weeks to go through the process before you're fully vaccinated. So don't get too excited when you're first vaccinated thinking you're clear to go, because we're even questioning today who's clear, who's not clear. who you've been around, who you had contact with, who it has to be quarantined, who does it. Those things are still iffy. Anybody can get it, vaccinated or not. The results are, I guess, if you are vaccinated, you have a less likely chance to be hospitalized with serious conditions. That's the main thing with being vaccinated. A lot of doctors now are saying it's a no-brainer to get the vaccine for the kids due to the fact that the symptoms or the long-lasting symptoms lasting from COVID are much worse than any of the side effects from the vaccine. So the physicians are saying kind of like, okay, it's still a no-brainer to get the vaccine for your kids because the result, you know, a lot of kids are being hospitalized with some serious heart conditions now even. We're seeing more and more hospitalizations of that age group. But they're probably, if you get the vaccine, then it's going to have a lot less side effects.
Yeah, I think when you look at the way that the numbers have been, as far as like the numbers of people that are vaccinated, we're well over 2.5 million mm-hmm. in Kentucky, of roughly 4 million population. So not quite even that, a little bit more than 50%, you know, probably hovering 55-60% as far as the overall numbers. When you realize under the circumstances that now they're dipping down to that high school, middle school, elementary school, I think, is it 5 years? Five-year-old, think, is kind of where it's at. At that point, I'm assuming that's probably just going to begin to be a normal yearly vaccination and or a vaccination in the sense as far as they're even as far as like kids, you know, mm-hmm. you get your shots as a, you know, entering school, going to the middle school, high school. I'm assuming that this will probably kind of start to be something along those lines in a sense, just the fact of the booster shots and them still not realizing the long-term effects of the shot on the body, meaning as far as it building up that resistance.
Yeah, and then that's the kind of the theme I've heard from a lot of the physicians and people at CDC are saying, okay, it's looking like now you're probably going to have this more than once a year. And that being said, they started that now. I guess, obviously, the folks who got vaccinated from the school last year when we got our vaccines were eligible now to go get a booster because they say after 6 or 7 months, it does start to wear off. But it is more effective with the vaccine than it actually being active with COVID. Whatever reason, the vaccine is staying longer with people than actively having COVID, you would think it'd be about the same, but the vaccine is actually lasting longer than having COVID for the natural antibodies.
Yeah, you would think that the antibodies at that point, once you have it, you'd build up that resistance, but obviously whatever strand this kind of is in a sense, and obviously it's the Delta variant, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, and obviously they continue to potentially mutate. It's no different than the flu in that respect. You know, it's almost guesswork in a sense as far as who will be affected and who won't be affected, whether you have the flu shot or not, because obviously it's the same thing as far as if you get the flu shot, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to get the flu.
Correct.
You just, hopefully, you know, building up that resistance in a sense to protect you a little bit more.
And again, I know I've had the flu shot, and I don't take the flu shot often. I've had it one time. I got sick. Now, I've had the flu since then. The flu was much worse than having the vaccine and getting a little sick. So looking back, I'm thinking, okay, I got maybe a little sick with the flu shot. I'll trade that from getting real sick with the flu. So it's just kind of one of those things where, you know, as soon as I'm available, I'll probably go get my booster and the flu shot. I don't think you want to get them together.
Correct.
But who knows? Maybe you can. Maybe it's just fine. But there are two different coronaviruses. They're both coronaviruses, but they're different. So, you know, you will be careful on how you, I guess, put that all in your body at least at one time.
Well, and obviously just even the effects that people have after that shot, you're putting a foreign substance mm-hmm. in your body. And at that point, your body's trying to figure out, okay, what do we need to do with it? Do we allow it in or do we fight against it?
Well, that's what your body is supposed to do.
Correct. And therefore, obviously the different symptoms and side effects that people may or may not have, depending on how your body reacts to certain things along that line.
And depending on what vaccine. The good thing, I guess, about these boosters now is pretty much they're one size fits all. It's whatever first round you had, doesn't matter which booster you take, it's good. It's going to boost that immunity and help out quite a bit. So that's a good thing with the booster shots. It's you didn't have to take the same booster you took on the original shot.
It'd be interesting to see statistically how many people choose, let's say if you had the Pfizer shot, how many people want the Pfizer booster, right? If you had the Johnson & Johnson or the Moderna, like how psychologically, right, well, are people going to gravitate towards the one that they had prior?
You know, I also wonder what has sent this direction. You know, is there one medicine that's sent more toward, you know, Powell County, Kentucky, or Fayette County? You would think there's probably push more from one or two of the carriers more than others, but who knows what we'll get. They're just going to send us batches, and whatever brand it is what we'll have to take.
And that's about the way it was initially with the Pfizer. Yeah. Obviously, the Johnson & Johnson was a little bit more delayed as far as when it was actually approved to come out, but still the Pfizer and or Moderna were basically almost nearly the same.
Johnson & Johnson was less effective overall, which is why that was one of the first ones to come out with a little bit of a booster, because you needed that second round to really get good coverage. I guess, think it was about 10% lower than what you got with the Pfizer and Moderna. Both those over 90%. And again, against serious illness from COVID and hospitalization, that's what the vaccine's for. It's not necessarily to keep it not getting it. It's just to keep you from having serious signs and symptoms and hospitalization. So that's what we want to do. Obviously, we can all carry. We all know that. Just be careful. So you still have to wear the mask. And, you know, if you've been around folks, you got to be careful.
And at this point, even state numbers, we've not necessarily talked about state numbers in a good while or anything. But today, 1,669 new cases. Obviously, when you look, I mean, it was a couple weeks ago that we were still hovering around that 4,000 mark. So obviously, even statewide, the numbers appear to be trending down as well.
But we've been around, you know, 1,300 to 1,700 probably in the last month and a half.
Yeah.
Which is a good sign. However, a year ago, if we have 1,600 cases, we're talking about one of the top days
last
year. So we're still having more cases in Kentucky than we were having last year when it was really bad. So the numbers are still not great. But people are finding a way to make it more tolerable for whatever the reasons are, whether we're getting tired of it or let's just go on or whatever it is, that's kind of the way it is.
Yeah, and even the positivity rate has continued to to go down 5.05%. You know, I think the last time I kind of checked it, we were around that 9%.
Yeah.
And again, it's continued to trend down. And as you mentioned, now you have the holiday season coming up. It'll be fast approaching. You have basketball season mm-hmm. that's going to be fast approaching. A lot more indoor activities.
Here's the scary part when you talk about indoor activities. Last year we had a rule, the KHSA had a rule, so much time in the gym and then clear it out. Those rules are gone. Now you have folks that may be in the gym. If you go in for a JV and a varsity game, you're going to be in there for 3+ hours. If you are not following the protocols, which are masks in the schools, you're putting yourself and others at risk. And we will see that quite a bit. As we're sitting up there in the booth, we'll see folks that aren't masked that are choosing not to wear a mask. And it's hard to make the fight to go say, okay, guys, you need to put your mask on. Probably what should happen, but we see that it doesn't. And it doesn't matter where we go. We'd see that everywhere. We've been in covering volleyball or soccer, whatever the sport may be. But at least like soccer, it was outside. But now we're going to be pretty much basketball season. We're inside for the duration of the winter. You're going to be around some of the same people nightly. So people have habits of sitting wherever they sit next to, and that's kind of the habit. And to me, if there was folks around me that, number one, haven't been vaccinated or just don't want to wear a mask, I would probably move. I mean, that's just... And you have the right to do that. But I mean, also, it's kind of like the smoking thing. People have the right to ask you to put the mask on, probably because of fight, but still, it's kind of the same thing. Please get the smoking away from me. I don't want to be around it. And look where we are now. We've got, it's pretty much clear if many buildings you go into to eat, we're pretty much clear from that.
I would actually even like to think that the number of smokers has dwindled because of those restrictions. I would like to think that.
Yeah,
statistically,
well,
I don't know the answer, but I would like to think that that has been a positive influence.
Just heard that the other day. Since COVID quarantine last year started, tobacco usage has almost doubled.
Gone up?
Yes.
I guess I could almost see that on that on that end. Then.
And they're blaming that on the, I guess, the COVID strain of staying at home and your
isolation,
boredom, and those kinds of things.
Right.
And it's gone up. So a lot of things that are out there are there's some issues with isolation, and I totally get that. But again, you still gotta be safe when you're out there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think too that when we look going forward as far as basketball season, well, here going back quickly to the volleyball, the regional tournament, they did a nice job of clearing everybody out from game one, spraying the bleachers down and giving that time to kind of settle before they allowed the other group for game two to actually come in. It'll be interesting to see if that kind of thing even happens as we get into basketball season.
Yeah.
Knowing that our numbers, even though they're lower than they were, will that even be a thing or not?
I don't think people around here are as concerned as I am. I just don't think so. Overall, I do think we have probably more people here that refuse to wear the mask than we saw other places. You know, when we go to Hazard to watch a volleyball game, and majority of the folks were wearing their mask. I mean, it's just, you see, we might have seen maybe five people, but when we go to a basketball game, and this is last year, we go to a basketball game, we would spot at least 25, 30.
True.
And we're seeing the opposite side of where we were sitting. But we saw quite a few that aren't masked on the Powell County side, and I just think we've got a lot of rebels around here.
And or guess what? I'll wear the mask to come in. Well, once I'm inside and you don't see me because I've already come in your door, well, at that point, I'm pulling it down and I may or may not wear it.
Yeah, and, you know, when we come into a place, you know, we're, I guess, supposed to wear the mask, but we're up in the isolation booth. We're around each other all the time anyway, so normally we just go ahead and take our mask off, or sometimes we take our mask off. It just depends on where we are, what the setting is, and things like that. But, again, when Ken and I ride places together, normally we just take our mask off and go. So it really doesn't matter if we're only around each other in an isolation booth, like upstairs at the high school, then, you know, who's it really affecting other than just, you know, you and I, which is on a daily basis normally with football games, at least three times a week. So if one of us gets it, then obviously the other one's going to be in jeopardy.
I would agree with that. And let's just knock on wood and, hope it doesn't happen, not only for us, but for anybody for that matter.
That
we're not interested in anyone being having this to deal with.
That's the goal. We want to stay COVID free everywhere. If we can get there, that'd be awesome. So we'll take another break here on BCSN Live.
Community, what does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranty Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, I want to say this before we go to our next segment. And lost my mother-in-law early Friday morning, Thursday night. Wasn't of COVID, but passed away. 88 years old, Mary Virginia Rice Johnson. And I would like to take this time to thank a lot of folks for coming out and seeing us and supporting us, bringing food, coming to visitation, their funeral. And I also want to mention she was a loyal listener here to WSKV because she just didn't get to the games anymore. And so that's a listener that we have lost and always loved to listen to us. And I tell you, great lady. And she'll be sorely missed with our family for sure. And I tell you what, the folks that came out, the outpouring we had was just fantastic. So again, a big thank you from all of my family and the extended family of the Rices and the Johnsons.
I didn't know her very well, other than horse shows. It was about the first time when we were going just right up the parkway here, and when they were working in the concession stand area. So that was my brief encounters. But a sweet woman, sweet disposition. You knew that she was someone that was definitely highly respected and thought of.
Could definitely cook. She was always cutting up potatoes for potato salad, and that was one of her specialties, was that potato salad. You know, I didn't used to like it much, but she could make some potato salad and some daggone good pimento cheese. I just know those two items are just a start. But a great lady, and again, I never thought I'd meet anybody like my grandmother, Lillian Harrison, but Jen was right up there with her. She was never had an enemy anywhere. So again, those people are few and far between, and I'm thankful for getting to have met her and known her the last 20 some years. So again, thanks to the folks that come out for support.
And on one hand, it's almost generational. Her age and up, they're a completely different generation than what came after.
Yes, and you know, and to me, she's in a much better place now. She doesn't have to suffer. I know where her soul is. Don't have to worry about her at all. So again, thanks for all those who show their support over the last, the last few weeks of her life. So again, thank you all for that. Moving on here with some sports, we have an update for the football. We have made the playoffs. I listened to the broadcast, or actually I watched the broadcast last week at over at Jen's and Phyllis's. And I didn't watch the UK game. I watched Ken soloing the football game up at Gallatin County.
Yeah, needless to say, it was treacherous conditions for the team to be playing. But at the same time, when you're a football player, though, those are great conditions to play in because you're running around in the mud and that kind of thing. The Pirates had some really nice moments like we've seen at times, able to get the ball, move the ball. Obviously, it was very sloppy on both sides, poor quarterback center exchange, just where the ball is just wet, waterlogged, that kind of thing. You knew those things were going to happen. So several turnovers, but the Pirates really defensively and offensively took care of what they needed to do. Gallatin County, they make the playoffs as well.
All right.
They were a good team, even though they're 2A, a good team to be making the playoffs, but very competitive. Just rough conditions along those lines.
So Powell's record minus COVID cancellation, I believe, was 2-6. Gallatin County, I believe, went to 3-6. And Powell will play Mason, and I believe it will be Fleming County will play
Lewis.
Lewis County got in.
They did
they got a win.
Pendleton lost. Yeah, yes, sure enough. Right. Pendleton lost, and once they lost, they had their destiny in their own hands, and they couldn't take care of business.
And we knew if Powell lost, and probably Pendleton lost, we figured Lewis would win, that Pendleton may have the upper hand because of the RPI. But with Powell winning, Lewis winning, it pretty much that was it for Pendleton. They had no shot since they lost the last week. So those two teams will advance. Lewis beat
Newport? Fairview.
Fairview.
Yeah, Fairview.
Up in Eastern, up around Ashland, that area. And Lewis County advanced, winning that game fairly easily, and which I figured they would. So they will play Fleming County. Now Fleming is the one, Mason's the two. Powell got the higher seed because we beat Lewis, maybe head to head, since it was the same records, two and whatever. Well, the two wins, I guess, where they match up. But Powell did get the three seed and will be going back to Mason County where we were 2 weeks ago, when pretty much everybody in Mason County thought we would be brought back up there, and here we are.
Yeah, and the Pirates ended up losing that game 38-9. Had several opportunities to kind of flip the script on that one. They were in it and then gave up a touchdown right before halftime with about, 14 seconds or something like that. They couldn't get the first down in order to keep going. And then that caused the turnover and, through a punt. And then at that point, County ended up, was able to score. And then they come back in the third quarter and take that and go for a score. And then at that point, they basically put it out just really on those two plays.
I thought our defense, we played at times, we played solid, but the big plays killed us at Mason County before. And we just could not move the ball offensively against them. Again, they were one of the top-ranked defenses in 3A football, not just our district, but I'm talking statewide. So they have a really good defensive team. Now, that being said, Powell County still has to go out and grind out the yards, make first downs, keep the ball out of Mason County's hands. Again, when we looked at my play sheet at the end of the game, Powell County had more offensive plays than did Mason. They just kind of scored a lot quicker, and we've got to be able to slow them down a little bit.
Yeah, and I think even going back offensively for the Pirates, the offensive line has to do a better job. We didn't necessarily have a lot of the runs that we would normally see from this team. They've got to be able to get a good push against that defensive line to open up those lanes for those backs to see if you can't get those large chunks of yardage.
Yeah, and we watched the Mason County game, and they really packed everything in. Mason County was way too quick on the edges. If we tried to run outside, they were a lot quicker than we were, and even caught it from the backside several times on those runs. So, to me, I know this sounds kind of silly, but right up the middle, we're going to have to do some damage because I'm not saying that's a weakness of Mason County, but I know the edges aren't the weakness.
Well, and again, I think if the Pirates can get that push to give their backs that opportunity to, one, let the clock continue to run as much as possible. I mean, at one point, I think they had a sustaining drive of like 7 minutes, the Pirates did. So they're capable of doing that. Obviously, you have to get the first downs. You can't make silly mistakes, penalties, costly. Even going back to the game against Gallatin County, had a player in the backfield for a loss, face mask against the Pirates. Boom, you give them another opportunity. Gallatin County comes down and scores.
Yep.
Had you done that, that would have set up third down and about 26 yards. Better shot of getting the ball back. Instead, that penalty gives them first down, and then again, they go in and score. So they have to eliminate the Pirates, to have to eliminate those kind of discipline mistakes. They need to be more disciplined. Can't make those mistakes, and again, try and grind it out and see if something can happen for yourself.
You would have to think Powell County is going to be a 3-touchdown underdog going in. That being said, is it a winnable game? I think they can be competitive. Now, winnable, I think you have to play the perfect game. And Mason County has to play bad and turn the ball over. So Powell County's got to play perfect. Mason has to have a down day and turn the ball over for us to be competitive in the game against Mason County on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Again, you have to be flawless. And I think when the Pirates have reduced those mistakes, whether it's turnovers, whether it's penalties, they performed really well during those stretches. It's just when they start doing those mistakes and those turnovers, et cetera, and or don't get the push on the line to get that first down to extend that drive, then it's like, you know, the other team will jump and take advantage of that, and they'll make you pay for it.
And we got to tackle better. I mean, we had Mason County several times of the first outing. We were just trying to do a lot of arm tackling, and they were just kind of running through. And you really got to wrap some people up and wait for the help to come to be able to take some of those guys down. They did a really good job of mixing it up. I think they exposed some of our weaknesses, and they'll probably go back to those, I think, in the passing game for sure. They didn't complete a ton of passes against us, but it was enough to keep us honest about how to play them. And they did get on the edge a lot on the outside and beat us. Again, they are quicker than us player per player. But, again, I think it's a game that Powell County can be competitive. We just have to have some turnovers. They have to have some problems, and we have to play our best game of the year.
And I think for the 12 seniors that are on this team at this point, you know, you've made the playoffs consecutively. You know, you've done a nice job. Again, there's a good core of seniors that are on this team. Now it's time, in a sense, to take it that next level.
Well,
again, if you possibly can, in order to clean things up, in order to get that win.
You have no pressure. There's zero pressure on the Pirates, because I don't think there's anybody out there thinking it's going to be a Pirate win. Now, that being said, it's up to those Powell County players to step up and say, look, I don't want to get beat. I want to play my best game. Mason County has the pressure. There's really no pressure on the Pirates. They have the pressure. They have to be able to beat you. Now go up there and stop that for a half. See where you are. If you're close at halftime, you got a chance to win the ballgame.
And what's unfortunate is the first time they were.
Yes.
They were right there, and then unfortunately gave up that touchdown right at the end, and then gave up another touchdown to start the third. And again, at that point, you put things out of reach. But if you could have stopped them to end the first half, whether you get the first down and or whether you stop the play them from scoring,
if we could go in, what was it, 14 to, could have been 14 to nothing, where we could have went into the locker room and been, okay, we're in this game. I think you have to be closer than 14 nothing. I think you've probably got to put a score on the board. Let's just say if you're 14-6 going to halftime, you have a legitimate shot to come back in the second half and win the ball game. You have to perform well on special teams, better than they did at least against 2 weeks ago when they played Mason. And I don't know what they were like against Gallatin County, but you've got to – well, so watch the game, but you got to perform better than that too, because Gallatin County had good field position for most of the night.
Correct.
Powell County's defense just stepped up a little bit more against them. They were able to stop some of the things that they did well overall and move the ball offensively. So I just didn't see a lot of problems for Powell County moving the football against Gallatin County. But you got to hang on to that sucker. You can't turn it over at all against Mason this next outing.
Well, at least at this point, the weather's supposed to be not raining.
Not raining.
You know, it's cool. Not, let's say, exactly, it's going to be on the cool side. But still, the fact that we have had some rain, now some cold temperatures, that field could be very hard. In some respects, you know, at that point, it goes back to get that traction, wrap people up, push somebody off the line, create those opportunities for yourself.
Football weather, folks. Football weather. Yep. Tomorrow night, we'll be on the air at 7 o'clock. I'm assuming it's going to be Facebook Live as well with our crew. So since we're playing tomorrow night, but don't know for sure about Estill County and their playoffs. I know they're in the playoffs, but I don't know. I'm assuming that game is probably on Friday. So WSKB will also be carrying that game, whether it's on NFHS or Facebook Live. I'm not positive of that. Ken's looking here, trying to find out about the ECS inside of WSKB's coverage this week.
Yeah, I actually thought I had already had it, and I lost it there for a second. Let's see where we are here. They actually are traveling to Bell County.
Oof.
Yeah, on Friday night. So
long trip.
Long trip, and of course Bell County is, you know, one of the stalwarts basically in 3A, so they'll have their work cut out for them. But Estill's got a good team. You know, anything can happen, you know, when you look at that circumstance.
We'll say this with Estill County, though. The superintendent at Estill County is from Bell County, so I'm sure he will try to inspire that football team to go back home and get those guys a win at Estill County. So I tell you what, they've had a good season, and it's probably a 3-2 matchup, I would assume, a 3-seed versus 2-seed and Estill Bell. That's a little bit tougher district than what we're in, Estill's is. So, again, good luck to the engineers going to Bell County. Again, that's a long trip from somebody here in the studios to have to go down to Bell County. Again, you're probably, what, 2.5 hours, I would think?
At least a good two.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, solid two, and I wouldn't want to be them.
No, you're exactly right. But a rare Thursday night football game.
For
which
us, kind yeah.
of be interesting. You know, again, the fact that it's a Thursday night football game, a playoff game at that. And apparently the reason for that being a Thursday game is that some of the officials, as far as refereeing the games or whatever else, they couldn't necessarily find somebody for that Friday night matchup.
I think you have a larger crew for the playoffs.
Correct, yeah.
Therefore, because you're playing all these games on Fridays, and now some of the games probably play on Saturdays, to me it would have made more sense to play Fridays, Saturdays and play in the middle of the week on Thursday night. But who am I to figure any of that stuff out? But, you know, we'll be playing tomorrow night. Our time, 7 o'clock. We'll be at Mason County. So tune in to WSKB's coverage of the football game. And then on Friday, 7 o'clock, I'm sure we'll be there at time for the ECSN crew at Bell County. And, again, good luck to all the WSKB teams going forward. Take a little break here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton. Proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Appalachian Wireless and Samsung introduced the smartphone that everyone is flipping over, the Z Flip 3. Looking for something that stands out in the crowd amongst regular smartphones? Then the Z Flip 3 is the device for you. On the region's best service, Appalachian Wireless, the Z Flip 3 is an actual flip phone that, when opened, reveals a stunning 6.7-inch touchscreen for the best of both worlds. It's compact, powerful, and the most unique smartphone in the world. Get more information at AppalachianWireless.com. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Welcome back after that quick break here on PCSN Live.
This catches is, off guard anymore,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Again, this is Dave following along with Ken Simon, and go down with Ken with our young ladies and gentlemen on the cross-country results from last week.
Actually, last week we had a couple of the Lady Pirates cross-country team members that ended up qualifying for the state. One of them ended up finishing first in the region. The other one was third in the region. And then on the boys' side, we had one that finished sixth or eighth?
Sixth.
So they ended up advancing to the state. That meet was over in Bourbon County. And the results of that, Eli King, again, just an eighth grader, finished 198th out of 243 for a time of 21 minutes and 4 seconds. Very respectable time at that. Amelia Barnes,
Eighth grader,
58 out of 220 with a time of 21 minutes and 54 seconds. And Ashley Bailey, 75 out of 220, a time of 22:19. Both of those girls ended up, we had them on the interview last week. The fact that they're both young athletes, student athletes in a sense, very impressive, you know, for them to continue to compete. Again, when you're finishing 75 out of 220, that's definitely impressive.
Don't just look at that number of where they're finishing. These kids, those two the eighth graders, are running against seniors and juniors and sophomores in high school. They're not running against an eighth grade group. They're one running against older kids, more experienced kids. That's really good showings for the kids from Powell County. Ashley Bailey's a junior, but again, she got a lot closer to Amelia during the state competition than she was in the region. She was about maybe a couple minutes off Amelia's time at the region, but only a matter of seconds at the state level. But again, a matter of seconds was 20 some places. So again, congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations, coaches as well, for getting this team ready and doing a good job at the state competition. And you mentioned to Amelia, does her and Eli try to compete with each other in the races? Eli just clipped her, about a few seconds there.
50 seconds, to be honest with you. Right at 50 seconds. And we knew going in, as far as this particular course,
a little bit rougher run.
A little bit rougher. So therefore, I would assume that played a factor in as far as them finishing, that kind of thing. And we knew also it was going to be wet. It was going to be cold. Difficult conditions last Friday for them to be running.
Which, to me, that really is impressive with Ashley's time. Because her time actually is not much different than it was at the region, and ran in worse conditions. So her time was really a little bit improved, maybe. And then so looking forward to next year, these kids got a really good chance next year. And as Amelia said, she's trying to win this region six times in a row to see if she can hang on to that.
Listen, the sky's the limit, right?
She's done it twice, so we'll see if she can get four more.
And listen, to have that discipline as well, and she plays other sports,
basketball,
at that point, you know, all three of them for that matter. But the fact that you're disciplined to do that, and now you have an additional goal, you know, obviously you want to continue to improve upon your time, but to possibly compete for a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, regional title, that's impressive for anyone. Back-to-back as an eighth grader is unheard of.
Well.
Or a seventh and eighth grader,
folks
for that
in Powell need to be proud of these kids. I mean, just go out and see them. Again, they don't get a lot of fanfare. Nobody talks about them a lot. Again, like you said, they're multiple sports athletes. Amelia Zari currently playing basketball.
Ashley
is also a cheerleader. And Eli plays other sports as well, I believe. So, you know, these kids are actively involved in multiple sports, so that's a big deal. Again, it shows these kids you can perform in multiple sports if you put your mind to it. These kids are working extremely hard and still performing in multiple sports and doing well.
Yeah, and we've talked about this time and time again. You have to take advantage of the off-season time. Mm-hmm. You have to take advantage of the time that you even have while you're practicing in order to improve yourself. You can practice all day, but if you're not striving to improve your game or your craft, whatever the sport or activity might be, then that goes back to you. Again, because there's other people who are willing to put in the extra time than before. I listened to a sports guy the other day. It may have been Jay Williams. He was talking about when he played basketball professionally, he thought he'd get in the gym, but right before the game, whatever, you know, practice a little bit more, whatever else, and all of a sudden he looks down and out on the court already is Kobe Bryant. Well, Kobe Bryant, you know, is practicing and doing moves just like he would in the game or whatever else, and Jay Wills just basically just kind of just, you know, doing his thing or whatever else, and finally he sits down after he's done his hour and a half of practice, whatever, and he sits down, and Kobe goes an extra 30 minutes. And all of a sudden after the game, he goes up, and Jay Will asks Kobe, he's just like, man, he was like, why'd you keep practicing like you did? You know, I mean, he's like, you were going all out. He said, because I wanted you to know, no matter how much you went, I was going harder than you. Meaning, I don't care if I do 30 minutes, an hour, whatever else, you're not going to outperform me or outpractice me or out anything, because I'm always going to have that edge over you or anyone else.
And that's part of the psychological part of the sport as well. Tiger Woods probably did it better than anybody for years in golf. The psychological part of the sport, I'm sure that's what Kobe was trying to do there. You're not going to outwork me.
Correct.
You're not going to outprep me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be ready to go and still play well.
But it's that kind of mentality, that kind of determination, and or practicing again on your set of skills that gets you those championships. Well, you can sit back and rest on your laurels all day long and nobody cares until you exceed and push beyond what you think your limits are to continue to get better, to strive for that championship. It's one thing to say we want to win a district title and regional title, but do you, and are you willing to put in the time and the effort individually and collectively as a team in order to prove that this is what we truly want? Or are you just going to say, well, everybody else has done, won a district title, we can win one too, and you just rest on your laurels because you're going to be like everybody else? I don't want to be like everybody else. Therefore, I'm going to put in that extra time as well.
If you want to be elite, you must train like an elite.
Yeah,
That's pretty simple. We're going to take another break here on PCSN Live. Be back in a moment to finish up.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back here to this last segment here on PCSN Live. It's David following along with Ken Simon. Again, UK dropped to 18th after their game Saturday, or lost to Mississippi State. It kind of felt like, okay, Kentucky is where they usually are. But if they can get a win Saturday versus Tennessee at home, spirits will be lifted a little bit. And they really need the win. I think they need this win. They just dropped completely out of the top 25 and probably lose any hope of getting a major bowl on New Year's Day.
I felt like watching that game, I felt like them having the bye week was detrimental. I don't think it benefited Kentucky at all to have an extra week of prep, because I think when they came out, whatever mojo they kind of had against Georgia, and I get they didn't play their best and were absent a couple of players offensively and defensively, but when they came out against Mississippi State, they were flat. They were not in the mindset of who they were prior to being off, you know, that bye week or whatever else. And it almost felt like they had regressed completely going back to the beginning of the season, like, oh, that's who these guys are. Oh, that's Kentucky football right there. It's not the strides that we'd made. Yeah, it's not the strides that we'd made thinking we can go in here and compete and actually come away with a win and look at a top 10 in the polls.
Yeah.
Instead, nope, you come out, you flat, well, you turn the ball over, and you
Kentucky
drop.
Had a huge opportunity on Saturday to move up in the top 10 because
yes,
there
did.
Were several teams in the top 10 who lost. Therefore, it was wide open for Kentucky to jump in and beat where they haven't hardly ever been,
yeah.
inside the top 10. And they blew that opportunity against Mississippi State. I don't think they have a chance now to get back to the top 10. They can get to the top. They could get back to 12, 13. I don't think they have a chance getting to the top 10. But
not with their schedule.
They do have a chance to finish out the season strong. If they win out, again, they went out, they're 9-2 or 10-2.
10-2, yeah.
And if they can win out, that's a very respectable record for Kentucky. I don't think they play the strength of schedule preseason. When I say preseason, the first few games of the season that some other schools play. But they're going to play a good enough competition in the middle and then the back end of the schedule to be able to say, look, we're good enough to get a major bowl game if you can win out. But that's going to take a lot more football. Still got 4 weeks left. We've got, Vandy, Tennessee, Louisville, and
New Mexico.
So still some tough football to go for Kentucky.
I think, again, I felt like preseason that if they went 9-3 or 10-2, I felt like that would be a good season for this particular team. The fact that they came out as flat as they did against Mississippi State, I'm honestly not so sure that they can get it back.
Well,
what they had before, that competitive edge.
I think they'll get it back for two reasons. Number one, this Tennessee-Kentucky. Number two, because I think they've ticked off Coach Stoops. I think they're going to pay for that showing, and because he was very honest. He said they out-physicaled us. That should never happen.
Yeah.
And they said they were hungrier than we were. And she said that should never happen. So I totally agree. But he needs to go back and look at his prep and see where they lost that edge. How did you lose that edge coming from, you got a chance to make it to the top 10, folks. What more edge those kids want at UK?
Correct.
I mean, yes, you want a great record at UK. You want to beat some schools. They beat this team last year, Mississippi State, pretty handily at Kentucky. They got beat pretty handily at Mississippi State. So, I think they probably had a little bit of overlookitis in them. But the SEC is so tough when you go on the road to play a team. Kentucky wasn't the favorite. Kentucky's
Correct.
Ranked 12th and not the favorite.
Yeah.
Mississippi State was the favorite in this game. I think it was less than a touchdown, but they were still favorite over Kentucky before the game started. I'm not sure what the odds are for Saturday's game against Tennessee, but I would say it's probably within a touchdown. Is my guess against Tennessee.
I would agree.
You know, and again, they're coming in 18th. We'll see how they do. So, good luck to the Cats on Saturday. Baseball news, real quick. We got the Atlanta Braves. I have defeated the Houston Astros in six, one game six in Houston. Really, just kind of, I guess they just outpitched the Houston Astros last night.
I think when you look at Atlanta, they got hot at the right time. They've done just enough pitching and hitting-wise to come in and take it. They didn't have the most wins. You know, they weren't necessarily, in a sense, on paper. I don't think people would have necessarily thought, you know, when the playoffs started, in a sense, Atlanta's going to be their team unless you're a Braves fan,
Correct.
In a sense. They weren't necessarily expected to even make it to the championship. The fact that they did and were able to win, definitely impressive for the Braves. And, of course, it's been, 25 years
yeah.
or whatever it's been since they've even won a World Series in the 90s.
The two games they lost pretty big.
Yeah.
Two of the games they lost pretty big. But the games they won were really close, except for game six. And in game six, they 7-0. I mean, you had a pitcher go 6 innings. I'm not sure of any other pitchers that went more than six in the whole playoffs, not just the World Series, but in the entire playoffs this year. They've gone to just, you're pitching four and we're going to the bullpen. They're wearing out to me a lot of these bullpen arms. They've got, it doesn't matter. We're going to win. We're going to do this. And if you're no good next year, so be it. But Freddie Freeman made a nice comment after the trade deadline. The Atlanta Braves had the best record in baseball.
So, and they acquired, you know, three pretty good players.
They got four.
Four of them, outfielders. You're right, yeah.
They got, so all the three of the starters in the outfield, plus Jorge Soler, who's the MVP and the DH, got all four of those guys in trade at some point during the season. Jock Peterson, Soler, Adam Duvall, and the guy that had all the hits against, I can't think of his name, but the it'll play left field for the Atlanta. But all four of those outfielders came in trade because their outfield had been depleted. Lost Marcelo Zuna to, I think, domestic violence. One of the best players in baseball, the right fielder. What's his name? Acuña Jr. Lost him early in the season with a knee, and who their other outfielder was. These guys are all just better. So, kudos to the Braves, their front office. They didn't spend a lot of money. They didn't give up a lot of their main prospects to get those guys in return. They did a really good job of putting a team together for low cost.
And I think that's the difference. A lot of times teams, front office, they'll go when they'll seek big name players in a sense or whatever else to try and come in here. We're going to make a big deal. We're going to exit the farm in order to get this one big player thinking they're going to make the difference. Atlanta took the different approach in a sense. It's just like, you know what? We're going to acquire whatever talent we possibly can and see if we can't make a run out of it. They made the right trades and the right deals.
They picked up some really good outfielders. Yeah. Now, what they do next year, if some of those guys are back, I don't know about Ozuna, but you got to think, lost the name again, their all-star that they lost early in the season, Acuña Jr., and then whoever else you pencil in. Obviously, some of those guys are free agents, and that's why they were able to get them cheap. But we'll see where that goes from here. But congratulations to the Braves. I was kind of rooting for the Braves because I always kind of cheer for the National League team, but I kind of pulling for Dusty Baker as well for the Astros. But I have converted over to be a Dusty Baker fan. I just think he's a super manager. But I think they got a good one in Atlanta as well with their manager there. Been in that organization for 40-some years, so you can't be any happier for anybody than him either.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm not a fan of the Astros. Of course, being a Cardinals fan, you know, we kind of had our own little incident with the Astros where the Cardinals kind of, you know, made some internal mistakes and poor choices and decisions. So I've not been a fan of Houston since then. Then and obviously you go back to the sign stealing and all of that kind of stuff. Then,
but, you know, the people that were involved in that are gone, but have learned significantly. Joey Cora is one of those guys that has learned significantly from his mistakes that he made in Houston. He was one of the ringleaders. A.J. Hinch, one of the best baseball people in baseball, is back in baseball and doing a good job. The players, I think, took the brunt of that and deservedly so. But most of those guys have shined since then. So they can still play. They can still hit a ball. They can still do whatever they need to do. You just hate that black eye is going to always be in their books somewhere. So, but that's the way it is. If you get accused of something and you do something, then it's going to stay with you for probably the rest of your career. You do one bad thing, it taints the rest of your career. You do 1,000 good things, it's not going to matter because of that one that you did wrong. So that's life in general.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And again, as you mentioned, just congratulations to Atlanta in a sense of the fact that it has been so long, which is kind of almost mind-blowing in a sense that it, back in the 90s when they were so dominant, you know, I mean, they were literally the team to beat,
you know. Well, they were in the hunt every year.
Yeah.
With Bobby Cox and that group, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, Smiley there for a while. Who else was down there? Did I say Tom Glavine? Greg Maddux. Left Greg Maddux. That's probably best one of all. All those pitchers that they had, they were just loaded. And they had back-end guys as well that were really good. But only one championship. You when you go and look at that, how good of a run they had and were really okay. They were like now, they've won, what, four divisions in a row, I think, at
correct,
Atlanta.
Yeah.
They're on the right track, Atlanta, but, and that's a tough division, the Mets, with the Nationals, with the
Phillies.
The Phillies. a lot of teams spend a lot of money, and Atlanta's probably on the low end of that. And now next year, who they decide to re-sign, who they decide to get back, they might, their checkbook may have to be opened up a little bit. We'll have to see where that goes. But, you know, you compare that to the Reds dynasty of the 70s. Only two World Series, they were dominant from 1970 to probably 78. They were pretty dominant in baseball, but only won two championships, which is a lot. I mean, back-to-back's pretty nice. Doesn't happen very often.
No, and I think the way that the landscape is, where all of a sudden I'll have somebody, let's use Adam Duvall as the example, I acquire him for this team, and guess what? We won a championship, thanks for your service, but we're going to ship you off, you know, and see who else
played,
we can bring.
They played really well with Duvall last year and let him go. He was having a good year this year. They got him back. I heard the Reds may be in the mix for Duvall in the offseason if they lose, I forgot his name. If they lose the right fielder, which is a really good player, Duvall can't replace his numbers, but Duvall's a 100 RBI guy. He's a 30 home run guy. I guess the numbers can be replaced with a .266 batting average. Does that make any sense? I mean, if you pick up a guy like a Duvall, who's already been there, they know what kind of person he is. Good in the clubhouse, I'm sure. The Reds did trade today Tucker Barnhart to the Tigers. I'm sure they just kind of swapped contracts here. They did maybe a re-sign and send him off for the club option. They got a number two, 2019 number two draft pick from the Tigers, which to me probably is a good way to save a little bit of money, pick up a good prospect in return, and maybe spend that money either somewhere else on trying to re-sign some players, like Castellanos, the player I mentioned earlier. Maybe put that $7 million you were going to owe Barnhart, or $8 million, whatever it was, maybe put that on Castellanos' package, just maybe you try to re-sign that guy and bring him back.
I think that's the thing I think that's most interesting about baseball is because you have a lot of these trades, and you never know how teams are going to gel. You know, all of a sudden, when you have somebody that's been, let's say, on the Reds for years, and all of a sudden they're gone, it's just like, oh, well, who fills that spot? And whoever comes in, how are they gelling in the clubhouse in order to make things work?
Yeah.
Obviously, Atlanta just found that group of guys to come in and fill that spot.
They knew Duvall was a no-brainer. He was already in the clubhouse before. They knew that guy was easy. The other guys, we got to find out what we got here.
Yeah.
You know, you got to find out a little bit the person. You want them to fit what you've got. And I think they have said in the past, this is a great group of guys. You know, Jock Peterson, I believe he's going to be a free agent coming up. You got Duvall. And probably the other guys they probably acquired, probably got them cheap because they were going to be free agents. We'll just have to kind of see. Outfielders, almost a dime a dozen. You can find a good outfielder somewhere. For a lot less money than what you would maybe pay a guy to play the outfield. So we'll see here when some of these outfielders get their big contracts. But now you've got to look at the offseason begins obviously today with the Reds already making a trade. First day of you can make trades and declare free agency. You know, Freddie Freeman, we have to see whether or not he re-signs with the Braves. Said he would love to stay, but depends on the money. To me, he's a guy, if you're smart in Atlanta, you give him a little bit of a pay bump. You give him whatever years he wants. You're here as long as you want to play. We'll give you a little bit more money. We'll give you the years you want. Sign here and stay here. I think Freddie Freeman is going to finish up as an Atlanta Brave. I don't think he's going anywhere. But I think his salary better go up.
Well, I'm going to change sports just a little bit just as a perspective. So let's go back to the Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers. He felt like with his position that he needed to have some say in personnel. And he felt like they got rid of a lot of stand-up guys in the locker room who were leaders, and they got rid of those players, and therefore it's just like, wait, why did you get rid of these guys who were affected? Why didn't you give them a little bit more money or whatever the case might be? He brings back Randall Cobb, you know, a buddy of his or whatever else, who's making a difference, but yet sometimes it goes back to you're not necessarily listening to the players on who they think should stay, no matter if it's your star quarterback or otherwise, to pick a profession. You don't necessarily have too much of a say in who the personnel is, even though you feel like that you may have earned that right in order to give that, sometimes it doesn't matter. They're going to do what they're going to do in that front office.
Well, I guess if you're like in NASCAR, Denny Hamlin, who bought his own team with Michael Jordan, okay, now I got some say in what I'm driving or who's driving for us. That's buy-in. You know, Magic Johnson bought a piece of the Dodgers. He's got to say. He's got a piece of the Lakers. He's got to say. I guess he's got more money and knows what to do with, but he's got to say in any program he wants in sports in L.A. So
even LeBron, to some extent at this point, just the caliber of player that he is.
If you want to keep him, you got to make him happy.
Yeah.
And part of making those guys happy is not just paying them, but they want to win championships, and we want to surround it with good people or good players. Again, did you see the documentary, with Jordan a few years ago? Now Scottie Pippen's really ticked off because of the way he was portrayed in that
right.
documentary. Now he's pretty much down on Michael Jordan, calling him names. I'm thinking, where did this all big friendship go? Now, I do know that Scottie Pippen didn't play pretty much anywhere after Jordan left. He was really – nobody wanted him. So that was how he was portrayed in the documentary, and it probably did tick him off a little bit. But that was the truth, though. That was reality. He didn't get a big contract. He didn't get signed for more money. And
Scottie wanted to be the star.
He wanted to be the star.
But, yeah, Michael was the star, and he's probably been jealous of him
ever since.
Ever since.
Even though they needed each other to win. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
NASCAR championship coming up Sunday, so big event in NASCAR. That'll be the last time you'll see those guys drive around the track on Sunday. I believe it's in Phoenix. It'll be their last race, so it's a good race this weekend. We'll see how that comes up with NASCAR. Also, we got I don't think we've got anything else wrapping up, but we'll finish football season. Well, hopefully we'll extend our football season tomorrow night against Mason County, but we'll be on the air here on WSKV, 7 o'clock hour time. We'll also be Facebook Live here on WSKV tomorrow night at 7 p.m. See you next week, Wednesday, here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Pow County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Pow County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guaranteed Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security & Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. Stream the game to end.